Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, August 22nd, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on a weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Also, we ask everyone to participate and join on our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. You can find information on that on our front page, just a little bit down or on the right side of our website. All right, tonight's scripture reading, we finished the Gospel of John last Monday, so we're going to be picking up on a new book. We're in the book of Romans. We're going to be reading chapter 1. So chapter 1, open that up. Okay, chapter 1 of Romans, read by Alexander Scorby.
The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans. Chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Okay. let me see. Jan, do we have any announcements or questions?
Yes, we have a large number of questions, Sean. We didn't do any last week.
Okay. Do we have any announcements?
No.
Okay, so let's do the questions. We're not going to have a subject matter tonight, so we're going to go right into open forum after these questions, and I might have an announcement or two to make myself, but go ahead.
Just a little bit. Okay, first question. Can NLA answer the following question, which I recently forwarded to Next Star Media Group? As of Friday, August 12, 2022, Next Star Media has not responded to my question. In December 7th of 2020, I posted an article, Judge Shuts Down Berry County Sheriff's Attack on Presidential Election. Did Sheriff Leaf ever present his case in court?
I have no knowledge of that. I don't know if there's anyone here that has knowledge, and if Francine is here, she might have some knowledge. Is Francine here?
I haven't seen her.
Okay, and how about Brent? Because he may have some knowledge of that, too. Is he here tonight yet? And if Brent isn't here, if he comes in a little later, we'll try to pose this question to him then. I have no knowledge.
Okay. In general, this question too, as a courtesy, should NLA remove from the NLA website an article which is about a man who has not supported NLA for many years?
I don't know what they're talking about. So do they say?
They don't say what the article is or who the man was, no.
Well, maybe if they maybe write in another question concerning that with a name and a web page or something, because I have no idea. You know, people comment on our website, and I presume that's what they're talking about. And, you know, we try to be reasonable and allow people to say whatever they want to say, within reason, of course. And sometimes we get people come in and advertise. We shut them down right away. But I'm not aware, and I probably would become aware if people were shut down for saying something that we may not like or something, but I'm not aware of any of that going on. And that would be either you or me, Jan, right? I mean, you're not aware of any problems, are you?
No, none whatever.
Okay. All right, next question. They have to be more specific and let us know what they're talking about. Maybe we can figure out.
Okay. Third question. On November 8, 2021, a judge in Hillsborough County, Florida, committed fraud against me. I was locked up for 22 days without bail, was mistreated by their goons, the guards, and put in a cell for pain I experienced from the food I was given by the jail. I was issued a large amount of antibiotics for 7 days as a result of the food I was given. Then a shady lawyer that I hired who stated he knew the judge had me sign papers that I wouldn't sue in order to be released from jail. What recourse can I use for my pain and suffering as a result of the fraud against me? Actually, I was in attendance in the NLA Monday session That's when it occurred. The charge was failure to obey written promise to appear in court. This same judge threatened on Zoom that I would have a bad day for standing up for my rights. I have the Zoom recorded.
Well, of course, as we all know, this is a major problem in the court system. I've been totally taken over by the enemy. You know, we're at war. We've been at war all our lives. We probably don't even realize it. I look back and I kind of realize it now, of course, but back then when I was younger, I didn't realize this. But we've actually been at war since 1750. That's when the business really started to destroy, really, particularly our common law here in America. Of course, back in those days, we were the colonies, and today, of course, we're the United States. Nothing has stopped. Nothing has ceased that. Today, we look around and see what's going on, and we're realizing that, you know, things are pretty bad. And they're really starting to put the screws down and lock things down and to injure us. I mean, after all, I forget how many thousands, I think it was 58,000 they're planning to hire the IRS, and they're going to weaponize them by giving them literal weapons. And I have a feeling I know where those people are coming from. I don't know if everybody remembers or if they were paying attention or if they're conscious. Back when Obama was in office, he had the brown shirts. They didn't call them the brown shirts, but they were the Obama kids. And I remember seeing these videos with these kids, 15, 16, with make-believe weapons and everything, going through all kinds of Gestapo things, and it was pretty sick. But that's a pretty large movement that was going on, and I suppose 50, 60,000 possibly, and I'll bet you this is where these are the people that they're going to put in, that and illegal aliens coming into this nation that don't have the knowledge of liberty and the knowledge of common law as those of us who were born here, which really, you know, it's a shame that we're so ignorant to these things. It's kind of in our blood, though, because we've grown up and to believe that we're free and that we have liberty and that we have certain rights, but we don't do anything to protect those rights, you know, because the Constitution cannot protect itself. It requires we, the people. A government will never act honestly and do the right thing. They will always, always, always go astray. Evil will take control because evil seeks power and authority. That's where they'll find it. They'll seek control of that, and they take control of it. And they already have. And they did that only because we the people are ignorant, of course. And if we the people were busy taking care of our business, that is, having government by consent, which starts with an education about that and how to have government by consent, which is what National Liberty Alliance is all about, then we have that chance of taking it back and restoring and maintaining, as long as we continue to teach our children the same. But going back to this problem in the court, you know, I can imagine how much pain and suffering you've gone through, and I could imagine the anger. I get anger often. I mean, I restrain myself. I have self-control, but I get very angry sometimes at things that go on, and not only that injure me, but injure others. And but the day of judgment is coming, and it's very, very close. And right now, it is what it is. What can you do? Well, you can learn how to defend yourself properly. I wrote a book in order to assist people. We give a lot of information here. Not that we have all the answers, but we do our best. And, you know, the time is coming when we will get courts of justice back. The thing is, can we maintain and keep those courts of justice? Can we execute and exercise our unalienable rights in those courts of justice? That's the question. Because if you're going to go hire a bar attorney for that, or any attorney for that matter, well, you need to be able to. No one knows your case better than you do, and you should be able to represent yourself, go in, and bring up the issues and deal with the process, you know, deal with the problem. But you have to understand the processes that in order to go through that. So that's the best I can tell you. You know, we are, in a way, matter of fact, I might as well take the opportunity to speak a little bit about what we've done with Joinders. I know we have an individual in the room that's interested in this. But I'll be blunt, very, very 100% blunt over this situation. People have come in and asked to join us. We've joined them. And I don't know how much, matter of fact, we're investigating right now. We ask those people to participate, to learn, to come to the Monday night meetings, to learn how to take care of their own problems, and to learn how the court system works. We ask those people to get a proper education by taking a government by consent course, at least that one course. And I think we're requiring a civics course. If we wasn't requiring a civics course, we should have, because the civics course teaches the people on how we got to where we're at. And that's it. In that civics course, you would see that. But our government by consent course, now I don't know how many people had gone through with that. Clearly, a lot of these people have not come to the Monday night meetings. We know most of the people that have been coming as regulars, and we do see some new faces from time to time. And as time goes on, more and more kind of stick to us and work with us and so on. But certainly not enough at this point. I do know that we have about 100, last I looked, 121 committees of safety in process. I don't know to what extent they're in. We're working that out right now. Some have already made contact and a relationship with the sheriffs. Some may just be in the process of just kind of having little meetings with a few people, you know, maybe over the phone or for a cup of coffee in the morning or whatever, you know, just getting together, discussing and planning their first real meeting. So I don't know where a lot of these are, but we will know soon, and we will start to report to the people on what activities we've got going in what counties. You can look up your state to see in your county whether you have a committee of safety started, and if there isn't one, you should consider starting one. And even if you don't have an idea, even a clue on how to do that, it's just a matter of putting your name in and talking to people. Others will come up with a little more knowledge here or there, and between two or three or four or five and so many people, you'll work things out, because that's how it works. Maybe the person who starts it doesn't want to be the leader. That's fine. Someone will take control of that as time goes on. You just offer it up. You know, I mean, again, someone else will take the reins. But we wrote books, and people need to be reading those books on how to start a committee of safety and understand, you know, how things work, how we can have government by consent. But going back to the people who have made joiners, we've communicated numerous times to the people who have connected with us. We don't even know if half of those people are even still with us, so we don't know. We are going to use their cases as evidence against the judiciary, the federal judiciary, because it proves that there is, and we explained this to people, it proves that there is a conspiracy, because the evil that one judge is doing on one side of the nation is the same evil another judge is doing on the other side of the nation in a different state. They're all doing the same thing, and that proves conspiracy. And our joiners will help to prove that conspiracy. And that's part of the reasons why we did that. We also did it for the purpose of compassion, to help people, particularly people who are losing their homes, who have lost their children, or even their parents to CPS. And that would be, let's see, APS, adult, and the other children for the CPS. And people who needed habeas corpuses. We did have a few successes on a few of those cases, but most of the judges decided to continue down their path of subversion and denial of due process to the people. And we do intend on doing something with that. We've written an extensive amount of paperwork. As a matter of fact, if you go to our website and you highlight a federal court case and you come down to action against the judiciary, you can see all the paperwork we filed, which was quite a bit, and a lot of cases that we filed, which is quite a bit also. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of the cases, because we've got hundreds of cases that we haven't even put up on our website yet. So we have maybe about, I'm guessing, 200 to 300 cases, and I think we might be closer to 300, but I really don't know. But let's say 200 cases, at least, bare minimum, that will be attached to us. But you can see we started this filing against the judiciary going all the way back to, let me see when the first date was. May have been August 17th, 2019. Writ mandamus was the beginning. I'm not sure why we don't have a date on that. Oh, no, that's a writ mandamus to the courts. So, okay, the original filing was 2015, okay, but a lot of our paperwork built up in 2019 all the way through 2021. And we filed our final papers on January 1st, 2021, with the intentions at some point, and that point has come, to file our final papers and pursue the matter. So we're suing the judiciary, the entire federal judiciary, and I can't get into too many details, and some of it is still in the creative part, and, you know, we've learned a lot over the years as we've been writing these papers and pursuing this matter, and we've accumulated a lot of information. And of course, as you grow, your thinking grows, and your strategy grows, and your focus grows, and you continue on. But that's where we're at. We intend on moving forward. What we're looking to do with the people who have filed joinders, okay, either they're going to participate in their own case, I mean, because we will be as active and try to do whatever we can and be as active in their case as they are. So if they're not going to make sure that they get their education, which they agreed to when they filed for the joinder, if they're not going to make sure that they attend the meetings so that we can explain to them what we're doing and lay out the program to them, then we can't go forward. Even if we wanted to go forward, we can't go forward. We're going to do the paperwork for them, but the bond, we're going after the bonds, okay, or these federal judges on behalf of the people. But it's up to the people to be present for that process, because we can't be present for you. So that's a major problem. And so people need that have these joinders, we will be contacting everyone by phone and by email in the very near future. We're working on paperwork right now to bring all this together. And I'm anticipating it's probably going to take about 2 months, to get all these cases together and then start making phone calls. And if we keep getting answering machines, we'll leave an answer, a message on the machine. Maybe we'll do that 2 or 3 times, and then that'll be that. Then we're presuming that they're not interested in us pursuing their bonds, but on their behalf. Now, I've just finished my work on all the bonds. I've done a lot of research and study on this stuff. I brought a lot of things together. I have to kind of digest this a little more. And I'm going to have another meeting with an individual who has brought this issue to light to us and get a little more information. But what I understand, and I'm not sure that I'm right on this point, but I believe, is Gerard here? No, he's not. I don't see him in here. Okay. I believe the bonds could be pulled up to $250,000, I think. I'm not sure exactly how that part works on the amount and how to establish what amount of damage. Clearly, people who have lost homes, that's pretty big. It's probably up in that neighborhood easily. Clearly, people who were incarcerated for a long period of time deserve a heavy-duty check for this as restitution. Also, their right of due process and the opening of their case to pursue justice. And that's what we're going to help people to pursue. But we will be as interested in your case as you are. If people don't show the interest and people don't participate and people don't come to the necessary meetings that now they must come to, okay, and if they don't come to it, we can't go forward on their behalf. This is your case. You have to go. We're going to produce it. We're going to write the papers. We're going to file it. We'll have you do the physical serving, so you'll get, and we'll show you how to serve that, and we'll get a record of the serving of these papers. And then we'll assist you from that point forward. But ultimately, for the way I understand, is really negotiation begins with the people who are holding the bonds. This doesn't even necessarily have to go to court. It goes to probably administrative-type court, which would be outside of the judicial system, I believe. I'm not saying this for sure because, again, that's the part I don't understand yet. But I believe it'll be administrative process to the bonds people to establish the damages and to establish the fact that these people did deny due process, injured you in one way or another, was faulty, whether it's criminal or just neglect or whatever, that will be decided in those particular administrative courts. But we'll figure that out as we go. So that should answer the question to the individual that early on was interested in knowing what was going on. I believe they're in the queue. So when we get to you, you can ask some more questions, get into more details, and we'll try to give you the information. But I will say, I'm a little annoyed at people who have come to ask us for help and then have failed to educate themselves, and freely you have been given help, and freely we've asked that you give to others, because that's the way of life. You receive and you give. So we're expecting those people to get involved now and to make sure that they become educated, and we'll continue to give, but we're expecting you to give back. Not to us, not with money, no, to assist other people through your own knowledge, to get committees of safety, to take control of our nation, to secure and support our Constitution by exercising your unalienable right of government by consent at the grassroots level that we're teaching everyone to do, and they should be involved. Okay, let's go to the next question, Jim.
Okay, I am reaching out for extended help. My wife was sentenced last Thursday, 8/18/22, to an 8.5-year sentence on multiple charges that she did not commit. James B. has been helping from the start of my daughter running away and claiming strangulation. This has been going on for over a year. Still, they have my kids and will not return them to my care, and we do not live in Virginia. My joinder was filed in JV court and ignored. They separated the cases to prosecute in circuit court along with district court to confuse the situation. My wife never had the chance to defend herself properly. She has 20 days to file an appeal, but I am stuck moving forward and need help in this complicated situation. Also would like to add additional people and cases to the filing.
Do they say whether this was a federal issue or a state issue? It sounds like it's a state issue, though.
It did not say. What I gave you is all
the... Yeah, we'd need more information to get into detail, but I don't want to get into any details of a specific case on a Monday night. You know, we do have a... we set up where we can meet on a Tuesday evening. You know, if we set up an arrangement, and that's open to anybody who wants to join that particular meeting in order to discuss a case like this or some kind of a situation. But we're not going to get into too much detail on the mic anyway on that. We are, you know, again, you live and you learn. We've gone through the school of hard knocks. I know I've got some blank spots because I don't have a regular education, you know, formal education. So I've learned everything I've learned by research and figuring things out myself. But I got a lot of blank. I do feel I know a lot more than most lawyers know. I mean, lawyers are really, my opinions, they're horrible. Their paperwork is horrible. Their arguments are crazy. They're ignorant. How else can I put it? They don't lay the facts out. I mean, you do get a good lawyer that can lay facts out and, you know, lay a case out here or there, but most of them don't have a clue. And yet they practice law. They just make more of a mess, I think. But the problem is, of course, is that we're dealing with evil, and evil is in control, and evil is about ready to lose control. That's coming in very soon, next few months, I believe, definitely before the end of this year. I have no doubt in my mind about that. But otherwise, we're going to lose America if we don't succeed now. If there's a joinder in place, one of the things that will be helpful is the filing for these bonds, because this is going to put these judges on notice, number one. We need to know what the charges are. If they're statutes, then, you know, people should not be held liable to any statutes. Statutes are for, you know, people who work for government, you know, government agencies, and commercial activities. So, again, I don't know the details of the case to be able to comment, but we are working on securing bonds and doing what's called, the paper is going to be a writ, and this writ will require for the bonds and their oath of office, and they'll have 10 days to respond to it. That should kind of shake them up and maybe even force them to do the right thing. But that's where it'll start. But again, without knowing more details and getting into maybe, and I don't want to get too much on a Monday night program on this. We will have to have a discussion offline. I set aside Tuesday evenings where we can make an appointment. And again, we would open that up. If we made an appointment, we would open that up to anybody who wants to come to listen and learn. All right, next question.
And that's all the questions that I have, John.
Okay, that's not too bad. Let me just make a note. You know, we say every Monday night to support our business partners on the right-hand side of our website. We don't have many business partners, but we do have a few. And I have two of my books on the right-hand side of our website, which is up for sale. And I've been able to reduce these books to $39. Originally, my government by consent was $45. I didn't set that price. That was set by, Dorrance Publishing, the publisher. So I republished that book in a hard copy. It's a bigger book, okay? Less pages, but it's 8.5 by 11, and it's a hardcover book. You know, these soft cover books, they're nice and everything, but if you use them a lot, they start to fall apart, the hardcover books are a lot better. And I think the books that I've written is really good books that could be used for reference books, especially the court access and the common law, which again is about the same thickness and it's the same size, 8.5 by 11, and it's a hardcover, and it has the maximum amount of papers. Both of these books are maximized in pages. This particular size book allows for 600 pages, I'd say. They're equal to like about 900 pages in the smaller book that we've been selling, which was a paperback. But anyway, my point being, I'm not only able to sell it cheaper, I make more money on it. And right now, the proceeds of those books, which is starting to come in, it's being helpful, it's supporting NLA. And of course, it helps to support me too, but comes into NLA first. NLA's bills are paid first, and then my bills are helped out, and so on. So I do get some benefit from that, and that income is growing little by little. But at some point in time, of course, this particular program that we're running here with National Liberty Alliance, with our membership and different things we'll be doing, should be able to be self-supporting, that I shouldn't have to support so much of it. We do get people who are given, and without that money coming in, we wouldn't be able to survive. So the point is if people want to get educated and also at the same time support NLA, buy the books. We do have a couple of good programs out there, and people aren't familiar with them. The Solar Flare, I got it, showing it on my website right now on the right-hand side. So Solar Flare EMP protection, which also protects for lightning strikes. And you don't need Faraday cages. Anything that's plugged into your walls, if your computer's plugged in, and you got an EMP protector in your electrical circuit box. Once you install that into the electrical circuit box, which is very simple to do, or very inexpensive if you have to hire an electrician, most people do. But that particular connection to your home will protect you from EMPs without a Faraday cage. Your printers, if your phone's plugged in at the time, and we get hit with an EMP, and it could be a solar flare EMP, or it could be nuclear at war or something. Everything is protected that's plugged in. So it is something that people need to consider, getting. And, of course, it supports us. If you click on that tab and you go to buy it, you get $50 off by using NLA as the coupon. And then we make a few bucks on this, so it helps us support us. So it's a good product, and we're very careful on what we do use to assist us in, making some money here in order to support NLA's effort here. The other thing about the EMP shield is good. Anything plugged into your home, you get hit by a lightning, it'll protect the house from a lightning strike. And I think they're guaranteeing that up... I think it was $25,000, up to $25,000 in damage, I think. But the testing shows that it should protect from any kind of a lightning strike. Let me see what else we might have up there. Also, you can hook it up to your vehicle or your generator. I got it on my generator, I got it on my vehicle, and I got it on my home. I don't need Faraday cages for my items as long as they're plugged in. I do have a few of those bags I bought on Amazon. They have these Faraday bags, and you can put your laptops into it. You can get a bag to throw your phones into it. If we're going to be hit with a solar flare, you're going to get a 24-hour warning as long as you're paying attention. I mean, if you're not watching or listening to any news and it hits you, you know, whatever's not plugged in is not going to be protected, so you need a bag for those little items. And I think that's pretty much all that we have. I'm looking to see. I thought there was another item that we may have another item coming up, but we'll see what happens. We do also have a connection here with people who want to buy food supplies and seeds and different things. I know it's on here on the right side. I think it's down towards the bottom, if I recall. And from time to time, we make a few bucks. Here it is here. You can buy seeds and survival gear and water treatment storage. We also have the silver lung. These are all items that I have, and these are great. The silver lung is fantastic. So if people want to learn about that, they can click on that. And so that's pretty much it. Those are the things that do assist us with a few bucks here or there. So anybody who would like to get those particular products or buy those books, it will support NLA. Okay, with that, I guess I have nothing else. We're just going to go to, a open forum here. So let me click on Q&A. Anybody want to get into the queue, if you're on a phone, *6 and a 1. If you come in another way on an app, there should be a button to get into the queue. So we'll take our first caller. Let's say that is Joe from Arizona. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hi. I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
On the form from that was deposited with the federal district court in New York, it had a depository number. Is that a CUSIP number?
Well, we have a couple of things. We had a number that we picked out. Let me think about this, because we filed up in Northern District, I thought. Or did we file in the Southern District? We might have filed in the Southern District, but we also filed, I think, in the Northern District. But, yeah, we do have a number that we use for the sole purpose, really, as a depository for all of our paperwork. And we've been putting our paperwork in there for quite some time. We haven't done anything recently, but they haven't sent anything back, and they haven't rejected anything. Although you will go up there, and they'll tell you, oh, the case is closed or this or that. But we don't care what they think, do, or say. That case is open. It's going to become very active in the next couple of months.
Okay. And as far as me pursuing...
We also post all this paperwork up on our website, although we have a lot more joiners that we have not put up on our website yet. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, if you can email me, I would really appreciate, because I am helping people locally here to be able to know how to take the dominion over the three laws, you know, land, air, and water, which is critical to understanding how they can protect their rights. And the other aspect is learning how to properly serve and be able to publicly publish and file in your county recorder to be able to come back after the bond.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pursuing the state bonds.
Okay, so you were the individual earlier on who was interested in and has a joinder already with us?
Yes.
Okay, so if you have a joinder already with us, and you probably went through Jim with that joinder, I presume, we're working on that list. It's going to take probably a month before we can get to a point. I don't know, it may be less than that, where we can start contacting people and start having meetings. I cannot talk to people one at a time. I can't talk to 300 people. I need to talk to people collectively. People need to be active and engaged in their own case with us. And so, but we will be contacting people very soon, let's say in a month or so, by email and by phone. We're going to contact them by phone first, and then it'll be then after that we will contact by email, and we'll explain to them we'll be contacting by email. Then we expect them to come to the meetings for the purpose of discussing what they need to do, what we're doing, how we're doing it, and we can have some conversation about that. Maybe we can learn a little more, and certainly we would hope that you're going to learn a little more from those meetings. But we need people active. We cannot chase a bond for an individual where the bond where the person is absent. So we're not going to do
I
that.
I understand.
So as long as they're participating, that's fine. Now, we did ask, and people agreed, when they signed up for the joinder, we asked for a donation of $100 or more to help the cost of filing the papers. And not that it just costs anything to file the papers, but to print the papers, put it together, and mail it, and so on. Then we started to work out a system where a lot the people did a lot of their own serving, which was helpful also economically speaking. But the thing is this, pretty much it's almost free when you look at that. So in return, we ask people that they educate themselves. We agreed that they would take at least the government by consent course, and I think the civics course, that it should have been part of that. And so we're going to ask people to take
that. I did take that test.
Yeah, because that really gives a lot of information on how we got where we're at, a lot of history there, a lot of stuff in
but
there.
The most critical part is these people are getting in trouble, and they don't know how to get their way out of it, and it's really a simple process, even though the courts don't want to listen.
Yeah, well, mostly it's because people are ignorant, and they don't want to, I guess, to go through the process of learning. And they you know, we've become a people that become dependent to a large degree, whether we realize it or not, on our government. You know, a lot of people are very much dependent on that. And we have to be independent. We have to step up and do what we have to do. So if people learn the process and how things work, you're not going to get through these courts right now because they're so evil and corrupt. But we're about ready at a point. We've been preaching this for a long time. We've been making this point for a long time. You know, we'll do the best we can to help people now, which only a few people have really been able to be helped because the courts are that evil. These people are, they maintain the status quo. So,
well, I do have to say, NLA did come to the rescue, and I did file with the county recorder a no dicta judgment, and the final cap on it was the joinder with NLA, where the court went into default, and that's when everything stopped.
Yeah, well, look, that is the key, the joinder, because, you see, we're taking that into the federal court, and we're going to fight for that, and then it's going to be up to the people to pick up those cases from that point forward. And that's why every one of these people really should have been learning. If they're not learning, they should have been learning, and if they haven't been learning, now it's time to learn, because we're going to work through to try to work through for the bonds, so they'll get something out of the bonds, and their case will be pursued. Once we get through the federal courts, their case will be open, and we'll have courts of justice at that point because we will be on the other side of devolution, if you're familiar with that. But we'll be on the other side of devolution, so we'll start to have courts of justice. And National Liberty Alliance, through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, will back up these people through a federal court case and assist them in any way we can by maybe doing a paper for them on their behalf and to assist them in any way they can. But the key thing is this, you know, if people want to go out and get a lawyer and be lazy, they're not going to succeed as much, and they're going to end up giving a third of their to the lawyers. That is the problem. But that's why people need to learn themselves. The book, that's one of the reasons why I wrote the book, you know, I wrote the book Court Access and the Common Law. I wrote that book for the sole purpose, for people to learn how to go into the courts, how to write a paper, what papers are required. I wrote a chapter, I think it's in chapter 2. I think chapter 1 was the essentials. Chapter 2, I believe, was the anatomy of a court case. And we go all the way down to the trial, okay? because everything on a court case, when you go in and write papers, you know, it's like about five different documents you put together to file your papers. And then once you go through that process, you know, there's the argument takes place back and forth, and is all recorded in the courts. From time to time, you have hearings for different issues and moving the court this way, and they move the court that way. So the argument is going back and forth, but that's not the trial, okay? That's just the preparation for the trial. Okay, and anything that that is covered in that area, which we make the point in the book that it's very important to cover certain things, and if you don't cover certain things, you're not going to be able to bring it up in the case. Like, for instance, we talk about covering up and making sure that you file a paper concerning the juries and the fact that they are, a lot of these juries have been tainted, and we have to untaint those juries. And if you file that memorandum in your case, then it's an issue that's been discussed and dealt with, and then you can bring that up in the court, and the judge can't stop you because you've already established that in your argument. People need to understand how the court system works, and it's a very well-constructed system. It's been.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question about that.
Yeah.
Okay. My question is that why would we want to even use their corrupt courts when we just simply go after their bond? Because that's the only thing they understand is the money.
Well, first of all, the bond is going after the officers of the court. It's not going after the situation and the problem, like if you lost your home, you need to get your home back or at least be restored.
Right.
If a person was incarcerated, you know, I know if I was incarcerated, I'd demand $10,000 a day. That'd be my demand. And that's not even enough for my opinion. Okay? You take my liberty
right.
away. The only thing worse than that is taking my life, and that's as much as taking my life when you take my liberty and put
it
in the box. Okay, so my demand would be $10,000 a day. You put me in jail for 30 days, so that's what, $300,000?
Yeah.
I think the number comes out to be. And that's not enough for me. In my opinion, it's not enough. Maybe I would ask for more. But you're not
right.
going to get those. You might get something from the bonds on that, and the thing you're going to get the bond on is the corruption that they've been involved with, the denial of due process. That's where you're going to get paid off that bond, and you're going after the officers of the court. Now the case itself is a whole different thing. You know, people have
right.
lost.
If you just go under right underneath the bond ceiling, and you've already got the evidence, the court of record, then the bond company will pay, and it'll settle quickly.
I believe it's up to $250,000. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure that's what I heard in a conversation with somebody that has.
Is that the federal court?
Huh? Any
is that
bond,
going to federal
any bond,
court?
Any bond is up to $250,000. Again, you can't quote me on that because I'm telling you right now, I don't know absolute. That's the part I'm still. I got to go back and learn a little more, but I'm pretty sure in my conversations with an individual who's assisting us with this, I'm pretty sure I heard them say the max is 250.
Well, I have a risk management from Arizona here, and it starts at 750,000 up to 20 million.
Okay, I'm not aware of that, so I can't say one way or the other.
Well, each state's its own nation, but the point is that you're going after the federal side, the state side under their risk management. That's what they cover for all public servants.
Well, we're going after judges on the federal level and the state level. We're going after on both levels, so it's not just the federal. But again, I don't have the knowledge there, and I keep saying that. I heard 250,000 in a meeting, but again, I don't.
Right.
I wanted to record that. We did record the meeting, but it was a bad record. I should have brought my recorder. And so I don't have that meeting recorded, and a lot of it is memory and some notes that I jotted down. But it was enough to get me started to write the papers and put the paperwork together. So I got all that done. Now I've got to go and learn through a conversation and do maybe a little more research on that, on the amounts and how they calculate the amounts. So anyway, but the bonds are one thing. That's going after the officers of the court, the people who work. Now you're going after other individuals, okay, for other reasons. Take the situation where people who have lost children, okay. I mean, how do you put a price on that? How do you put a price on the damage of the minds of those children that were stolen from your home? How do you put a price on that? Forget the bonds. They don't have enough money there. No, this is much bigger than that, in my opinion. And they're going to have to deal with that. And we will not permit or allow any judge to decide, oh, that's too much, we're going to... No. If the jury makes the decision, that's what happens. This is common law. We're not in civil law. And we will make that argument in that battle. But again, look at, people need to be able to defend themselves. And even if they feel that they cannot articulate themselves in the court, they can be involved in the paperwork. They can be involved maybe in a lot of writing, but maybe they can't speak. Well, then you hire someone that, someone that'll help you, a lawyer or somebody that knows the law or whatever, to give you advice.
People don't stick together.
Well, I'm sorry, say that again. People don't what?
People are separated from one another, which is part of the color of law has done to the people. But the idea here is that the people need to stand together in their community. Because going in there alone, I mean, you're going into to be fed to the wolves. So the idea is that if you have a little thought, I'm not going to contract with you, and no, that's not my fictional name, that's my stock, I'm the shareholder,
well,
and I'm here as a third party.
The solution is the Committee of Safety, and everyone should be part of the Committee of Safety. And you know what? If we have 300 cases, we should have 300 more committees of safety up there, because these people have skin in the game. We're helping them. They should help themselves by starting committees of safety, getting educated and participating within their community, getting to know the sheriff, pulling things together, and exercising their right of government by consent. That's what they need to be doing, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Because if people aren't willing to help themselves and others, you know, we're only going to help them as much as they help themselves. That's it. We're not going any further than that. Our focus in the courts are twofold. We're going to chase the bond. We're going to use the joinders as evidence, and we'll assist them in every way they can in the courts. But they're going to have to. Clearly, I can't.
You're criminally charging.
Huh?
Correct.
I'm sorry.
For criminally charging them.
Criminally
in federal court.
Criminally charging who?
The public servants that are and judges that are violating people's rights?
We will start with the bonds, and then it has a lot to do with people's education and sheriffs understanding their authorities. Look, let's take what took place down in Florida with Trump, okay? If there was a sheriff in that county that understood his powers and authorities, that never would have happened, because he would have went down there and been pretty upset to the fact that they didn't come to see him first. That's number one. They can talk, say whatever they want, that you know, this is information they can't have, it's this, that, or they don't care. The sheriff is the top cop. He needs to look at that warrant. He needs to look at the affidavit. He needs to make sure that it's valid. He needs to see the signature. And then he needs to watch them to see that they execute that warrant carefully and appropriately, not the way that they did, to just take anything.
Right.
You know, just from reading because I've read the warrant. I have not read the affidavit. I haven't seen nobody's seen the affidavit, I guess, yet. But I've read the warrant, and it is failing in many places.
It's defective, totally.
Oh yes, very much so. But not only that, okay. I can imagine what the affidavit looks like. Here's what you know. And here is how ignorant we are, to think that they would get an affidavit and put into that affidavit information that would jeopardize an individual in the case or jeopardize a process or a procedure or some kind of secret thing that they're doing, okay? That is the dumbest thing I ever heard, the stupidest argument I ever heard, because the only thing necessary for that affidavit and the only thing that should have been on that affidavit, it doesn't explore the case and get into the facts and the details, no. I'm a witness, I saw something, I saw it there, I was there, and that's where it's at. And they sign the affidavit. That's the basics of an affidavit in support of that warrant. And they don't want to, they're playing this whole game because they don't want to share it, they don't want people to see it. But we'll see what happens. The point is that the sheriff could have prevented this from happening. He could have seen the defects and say, take a hike. It doesn't matter how many troops they bring down, take a hike. And of course, sheriffs need to, one sheriff on its own is kind of dangerous. You need 2, 3, 4, 5 sheriffs working together to back each other up. And that's what has been done before. That's what needed to be done down there. So the point is when you have a sheriff, first of all, feds don't have authority to come into a state to just do anything. They have to go see the sheriff first in the county. They have to let them know what's going on. And most of their warrants are unlawful because they can't chase people on a lot of the codes and different things they're chasing them on. Number one, the warrants are faulty. No one ever wants to swear to anything, so a lot of it goes on without swearing. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts. I'll bet you that no grand jury ever made... they say that things are being looked at by a grand jury against Trump. I'll bet you dollars, and that they may even have something. Dollars to donuts, no grand jury. They're just saying that. Get someone to put their signature on. Yeah, you're the foreman, and you got some kind of a prosecutor who puts another signature on, which is not the way the law works. Okay? All you need is that foreman's signature. They're requiring the prosecutor's signature so that it doesn't go forward without the prosecutor and they can snuff it out and throw it away. That's why they're requiring that. But in any event, that's not lawful. And so I'll bet you dollars to donuts that there's nothing there. And there was really no grand jury involved. That's what I think. Certainly not one that isn't totally stacked. But anyway,
okay.
We're going to move to the next
one. I had a question. Is it possible for me to set up a Tuesday appointment phone call that we can discuss the paperwork I need to sign to for you to pursue the federal side?
Well, yeah, we'll be contacting. If you got it joined her in already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be contacting you soon, and then we will be meeting. But I won't be meeting on these cases one at a time. It'll be with lots of people at the same time. And I'll spend as much time as I have to so people have questions. Look, a lot of people don't ask questions. A lot of people just rather listen. So you'll get you have more questions. And there's a Monday night program here that we have. You've got a certain amount of things we'll talk about. You can ask questions. But you'll have time to communicate and talk. We're looking at things generically, though. You know, bear in mind, we only took on certain cases. We've taken habeas corpuses. We've taken cases where children were taken away from their family or the elders were taken away from their family. We would do nonjudicial foreclosures, whether it be mortgage or whether it be tax. Those are the basic cases. We have done a couple of traffic, and I think we had a few other cases, but we really shouldn't have done that because we can't get too far extended. Because, you know, these are simple cases, okay? These are very simple cases, the ones I just mentioned.
Any trespass on your property, any trespass on anyone's property, whether it's a child, your name, your vehicle, and basically that's what they did to me. And then the court became accessory to the after the fact to the violation.
But
it was three judges.
But you're talking about courts of injustice. We're talking about getting into courts of justice. Okay? We do expect to get to them. And the bonds, the pulling of people's bonds is going to be the thing that's going to do it. And if they don't have a bond, then they're not in office. But in any event, then they'll have to recuse themselves from any case you're in. Next judge. Same thing, do the same thing, next judge. We will do what we have to do. We have some other plans and thoughts concerning our battle with the federal judiciary and the Bar Association, which we're not going to get into details now. We'll wait for a while. We get on the other side of devolution. We'll get more details on that. But with that, I think we should move to our next caller, and you're welcome to get back in the queue if you want. And, of course, we'll be here next Monday,
okay.
And we'll be contacting you. But keep focused on your education. That's key.
I am. I'm probably more educated than the people that are trying to be state nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that they're trying to mix color of law with law.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they gravitate going back to contract with the very people they're trying to get away from.
Well, they're empowering them by yielding to their fraud. We don't yield to their fraud either.
That's right. Well, any type of a question, plea, or ask for forms even, it's an implied contract. And
well,
if they've got witnesses...
A contract requires a meeting of the mind, and you can't even do an implied contract. And when you ask for forms or different things, that's not going to tie you in there. But it is true.
So they're created by attorneys.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Your attorney
will sell you out because that's what they're taught to sell you out. Yeah, sign this. Yeah,
right.
This it works. Yeah, you got to do this. This is the plea you got to make. They bring you right into the system. Yeah, I never make a plea, ever. And I've been in court.
Yeah, you have to make your own forms. He who creates controls. If you let use their form, they're in control.
Well, you know, again, you take their forms, I get their forms, and I make them my forms. Make the changes in the proper places, and these people are so stupid they don't even realize it.
Right. Well, that's what I did in my case.
It looks like theirs, so they accept it. But it looks identical to theirs. Identical. I think I show one form, which is for the federal filing into the federal courts, I think it is. I think I have one in my book. And you could do that on any form, but just make it look exactly, you know, Word, Microsoft Word is very easy to create a form and make it look just like their form.
Very, very.
You have to have a little knowledge of how Microsoft works, but you can learn that by going to YouTube and taking courses, Microsoft Word 101, you know, and you'll find it teaching these things, and you go all the way through the whole thing. You know,
when I sent the judge the NLA forms, he said, this is all taken off the internet. If you use the internet anymore, there's going to be sanctions against you. And, of course, I sent the default.
You can't do that. You're not a lawyer. You're not an officer of the court. How can they sanction you?
I know. Well, that's what he was trying to threaten me.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, in the past I may not have known what to do, but I know right now that I would, every time I go into the court from this point forward, I will have in my back pocket the necessary paperwork to request their bond and their oaths. And you know, once they start to push you towards that direction that they're trying to shut you down or something.
I did get the oath of office from the judge. I got it from the Secretary of State.
Well,
if you want a copy of that, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, please. We put together a writ quo warranto, which is exactly for this purpose. Okay. And we did a writ quo warranto quite some time ago, but we didn't even realize how powerful it was. But we understood, but we didn't know how to pursue it and push it. Let's put it that way. That's probably a much more better statement. But now we understand how this works and what to do with it. So, if just a traffic ticket. Okay, if I were to get a traffic ticket, I would go into the court, I would be there by special appearance, and I would be very angry and upset the fact that I have to take all my time to come down to this court, because I already filed a paper, and your secretary sent it back to me, your clerk sent it back to me, which is a law, 2 years in jail. I'd let the judge know that, and I would let them know that this is commercial, I'm not driving a commercial activity, this is commercial, equity has nothing to do with me, this court may have jurisdiction over the process as far as commercial activities are concerned. So they may have subject matter jurisdiction, but they certainly don't have personam jurisdiction. And I would let the court know.
I say to the cop right then and there.
Well, let me forget the cop. Hold on. Let me finish my point because I'm really teaching at this moment. And don't ever argue with the cop. Forget him. You're going after the judge. The cop is just following orders. You're not going to get nowhere with him. You might even anger him. I'm always very polite to cops. I accept whatever they give me. I'm not going to give them a hard time because they don't know, okay? They'll learn soon, though. But the thing is that the bottom line is at the end of the point that I'd be making to the judge is that I'm going to demand that this case be dismissed immediately. Now, the judge is going to give me an argument, and I'm going to serve him the papers that should have been filed, which is my court case, that why I shouldn't even have had to been there. And if he decides, well, we're going to pick this matter up next month, then I say, oh, one more thing. Let me file this writ quo warranto here. And I would serve it on the officers of the court. Now, that would put them into an uproar. And before I would leave the court, if I had the opportunity, I would say, well, you know, if you want to just dismiss the charges, then I'll take back my paperwork. But I think you have to be careful with that because they would consider that a threat maybe. So how you would couch that is a good question, you know. But the point is, this will force them to be obedient. You're going to win the case at that point. They're never going to want to deal with you again once they go through
the
court. One, they got to give you, they got to explain, everything they own, their finances. They have to, all that has to be produced. They have to produce all their finances, their income. They have to produce their bond, their oath. and there's a few other things within individuals who might have been appointed. They're not going to like this at all. It's going to be a hard pill to swallow, and they're never going to want to go through this again. So the next person that walks into that court and understands the process and the game that they're playing, the fraud, and they start picking up the language and dealing with it, the judge is going to just throw that case out and move on.
Right.
But, you know, once we get to the other side of devolution, all those cases are unlawful. They have to cease and desist, and they won't have enough monies or abilities to bring in to run court systems, even for the commercial activities, because that's the only thing they can chase. Is commercial violations. But, Joe, I got to move to the next caller. Right, we've been way too long. You can get back in line if you want, and if you have more time, we'll talk to you. Okay?
Right. Have a good night.
All right. And stick around and listen. By the way, if Brent comes in, let me know. Or if Gerard. Gerard may not be in because he had something else going on tonight. Okay, let's take our next caller. Wharton? Is it? Go ahead, you got the mic.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, go right ahead.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I was a little bit more interested in the filing process. I know with state district courts and stuff like that, I was trying to file some paperwork on behalf, and they wouldn't accept it. I didn't know, I was trying to do some, research, to figure out, you know, like a demand to file, but on a state level, in order for them to accept it and stamp it and put it into the files. And, I know that, we kind of rejected, their appointed lawyer, and they just, kept them with us, and They wouldn't release.
Did they have a criminal case against you?
Yeah, it was criminal.
Okay. And was it a code violation, or was it really a criminal situation?
They put it as a criminal, you know,
what were they chasing you for?
It wasn't me. It was more on my wife's side.
But what were they charging you with?
So we got assault battery, the intent to run.
Those are all valid charges, but the problem is you're in a civil court, and that's what you need to get out of is a civil court and get into a common law court. And that takes an education in order to do that. You have to get rid of your lawyer. You have to represent, because no lawyer is going to take you into a common law court. Then you have to couch your case in such a way as to bring yourself into a court of law. The key thing is controlling the jury. That's the key thing, okay? And because the trial, eventually you get to the trial, and when you try to bring the jury back into a common law attitude, okay, giving them the power and the authority to really make the total decisions in your court case, whether it's deciding the law, deciding the facts of the case, and even deciding the restitution, whatever the punishment is. And more often than not, common law really presses more towards restoring the injured party than putting people in jail. I mean, very few people really need to go to jail. And I'm sure some people may have to go to jail because they're that violent or something, you know. But other than that, generally speaking, should not be a necessity. But that's what they do. They love to just put people in jail. The person that's injured never gets restored, and common law never comes to play. They stick with their civil law. But you have to bring your case into a way. My book tries to assist people in helping to do that and have the proper mindset, the proper paperwork. Make sure you get the information necessary on how a court of law works, you know, that it runs by the rules of common law, not by the rules of their rules that they've created. So rules are really civil law rules. But one of the main things is to get through the fact that the power and the authority of the jury into that case. And once it's in the case, they're going to try to take that out. They're going to try to argue that. And you got to keep it in there. But once it's in there, then you can any jury that they've tainted, you can bring them back up to a common law jury by addressing them. But you have to have that information in your case to be able to address that jury concerning that problem. And that's a battle. But on the other hand, we have, devolution in play. And when we get to the other side of devolution, we'll start to have courts that are cleaner and we'll be able to apply the law and get back into common law. Because the Rules Enabling Act, which destroyed our courts of law back in, 1938. It's the 1934 Rules Enabling Act, which was executed in 1938. That's when we changed from common law to civil law. And that was all done unlawfully. They didn't have the power, the authority to do that. And I know the United States Supreme Court, once we're on the other side. Matter of fact, the Supreme Court right now will probably uphold that if we get that before the U.S. Supreme Court, because they're holding up a lot of great things right now. But anyway, I strongly suggest by the book that we have here, Court Access in the Common Law, okay? And you can get that right up on Amazon. But the Court Access in the Common Law, if you go to, the page I was just on, if you click on, I think this is it. Click here for details and to order the book. This is Court Access in the Common Law. I'll just quickly go through, and you should read this page. This tells you about the book. And the book details the price and so on and so forth. And believe me, I sell this as pretty cheap. You're not going to find books of this type nor books of this size, thickness, and hardcover for $39. They're really ripping the people off. The publishers are ripping even the authors off. It's really disgusting. Matter of fact, I plan on suing my publisher. But anyway, we have the essentials in Chapter 1, the anatomy of a court case in Chapter 2, okay, and that tells you, filing the court papers, federal cover sheet, the action at law, the defendant's answer, the plaintiff, file on demand, affidavit of service. It covers everything, all the paperwork. Chapter 3, the Republic, law and equity, okay, to understand that. The two courts that you're in, there's equity courts and courts of law. You need to understand what law you're in, what court you're in. You need to apply the necessities in those courts. I mean, do they have personam jurisdiction? Do they have subject matter jurisdiction? Okay. Jurisdiction and sovereignty, Chapter 5. Causes of action, Chapter 6. Chapter 7, example, strategies, and mindsets. Chapter 8, affirmative defenses. Chapter 9, punitive damages. And believe me, a lot of times you can chase punitive damages, and you need to learn how to do that and get it into your case. And then the jury at some point has to deal with that at the end. Chapter 10, let me see if I can think of a quick example. Let me take a publisher. If I was to sue a publisher and go after the publisher, there's only so much money I can get. There's only so much damage I got. But the bottom line is what they've done to me was defrauded me on a major level, and out of my ignorance of how the system works, I didn't know how the system works, but they took advantage of me. But they've done a lot more than that. I'll share my case once I write it, because I'm going to be in the process soon to write that case. But here's the point. They didn't just do it to me. They do it to everybody, lots of people, okay? And that's where punitive damage comes in, okay? To teach them a lesson, to stop them from doing what they're doing. So they get hit with big, big dollars on that. So people should learn about punitive damages. Then we have Chapter 10 as motions and examples of the motions. We have Supreme Court ruling statutes and rules in Chapter 11. We have ready for trial, okay, in Chapter 12. Chapter 13, memorandums. Don't have too many memorandums in here, but I got a lot of memorandums in the government by consent. I couldn't get too many in here because the book is limited to number of pages. But I'm also putting up a, which I don't think has gone, it hasn't gone through yet. I'm waiting for the approval. I got a handbook up there. I'm only charging, I think, $8 or $9 for it or something like that. But it's a handbook. It's a pocket handbook. It's quite a few pages, and it is, I think it's 30 memorandums. So you'll be able to use a lot of those memorandums, and you curtail it to your needs and thoughts. I have a Chapter 13A, IRS memorandums, 14, extraordinary writs, need to understand the power and authority of writs and how to execute them, Habeas Corpus, Chapter 15, Rules of the Common Law, 16, Right to Practice Law, 17, Notice and Demand, How to Write a Notice and Demand, Important Beginning of a Court Case, Writing a Notice of Demand to the Individual You May Consider Suing. See if you can get it done without having to go into the court. And then Chapter 19, Learning About the Jury, Chapter 20, A Founding Father's Quotes, Chapter 21, Maxims of Law, 22, Footnotes. This is really powerful, the footnotes, a lot of footnotes in here. Footnotes are throughout the book, but I also have a chapter on footnotes that you want to attach to your case and express and explain, you know, your positions, your thoughts, your meaning in your case, so it's clear. 23 deals with surety bonds. 24, ABA must disband for treason, and the glossary of terms and word formatting and online resources. Anyway, that book is $39, $40 really, $39.95 I think, and it will give you the knowledge you need to go to the courts, okay? And I think government by consent will assist you more. In government by consent, I have 27, I believe, memorandums in there, so you can get a lot of memorandums in there too. Anyway, that's where you want to really begin. Educate yourself. And if you don't educate yourself through us, find another place to educate yourself. But there's not many places that'll teach you the common law. I don't know really of any, to be honest. Right, anything else? We've got to move on.
The habeas corpus and stuff like that. I know it was filed and it got rejected.
No, you can't reject the habeas corpus. We filed it for you? Did we file it for you?
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
It was thrown out.
Yeah, they can't throw it out. Okay? That must be adhered to. That's the law. Of course, they make their own law. They decide what law they're going to obey and what laws they're not. And they make their own laws up anyway. Well, that's where the joinders come in. This is where the bonds come in. Okay? The denial. The fact that they denied habeas corpus, okay, is the denial of your most fundamental right—the right to be heard, to hear your accusers, and to show proof that they have a case. That's a right. They cannot deny that. Although they do, they don't care. But that I believe is going to change soon. So again, you familiar with devolution?
Yes.
Okay, because we do have a page on devolution under today's issue, second one down. You click on devolution. Anybody who doesn't know about devolution should go to this page and start seeing what's going on and understand devolution. And it's in a big play right now. Anybody that's following along, the best source of information at this moment is X22. A guy named Dave runs X22 Report. Just Google X22 Report, and you'll find him on our website anyway. Matter of fact, you might even find them on this page. Let's see, probably do. But anyway, get educated if you're not educated in this. A lot of videos here and information on what's going on. Okay, are we done?
We're done. I've been learning a lot for the past year. So.
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll take our next caller. Let's see. Andromedia, you got the mic. Go right ahead. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, John?
I know what you're going to ask. I got the paper. I got the paper just about written, almost ready to go.
Oh, man.
I just have to have my meeting with this individual, but I've got my research is done. I need to understand, really, if you were listening tonight, more about the amounts that you can chase on the bonds. But I'm doing the best I can. It's almost there. And I promise I'll share it with you as soon as I get it done.
So. Yeah, a couple more things. Okay, I heard you. And yeah, I was listening. Now, I know you asked me before, did I ever do a joinder? And I already answered, you know, I did, but you know, yes. I already said, you know. So,
that's
you
okay.
Know.
If you're in the joinder, yeah. You participate. We're going to be doing the bond, through writ.
Although we're at the end where all I need is signatures, and they're just, unlike maybe other people doing an act of denial, no, they just enjoying the ignoring. and letting it sit there.
The paper I'm going to share with you is a writ quo warranto.
And
I'm also writing a paper that would be more like a notice and demand to an individual in an office that you're not in a court. You know,
mm-hmm.
So two different perspectives. So one will be a notice and demand, the other one will be a quo warranto. If you're in a court, use the quo warranto. Now, I will going to share that with you, and you can pursue the writ quo warranto on your own if you want. But we do you let us know how that goes, and because we do on doing writ quo warranto if you want. On your case for you.
Yeah, because we're at the end. I mean, we're at the end, and it's just sitting there with no signature. Both the money judgment, we're at the end of all your instructions I follow, and it's sitting there. They loaded it blank without a, and the habeas corpus, it's just sitting there.
They're going to ignore it as much as they can, and they'll make up their own laws, and they'll kick you out, and they'll tell you this, and you tell you that. But don't worry, because
waiting game. I don't think they're gonna make a move. Too much incriminating things. They just rather not address it.
Well, again,
too much things in there.
Real success is gonna come after devolution, and if you've been listening to Dave on the X-22 report, let me tell you, he's been giving some. We are really, really close. People don't realize how close we are. We are there. I mean,
Wait, speaking of him, and I don't need to cut you off because I need to say something. I was listening to X-22 last night. Now, I have to say something. I don't understand. I see he's quite informed, and I don't mean a criticism, but I have to say something. He's giving Governor Ron DeSantis all these props on these credits and this and that, like he's doing so much.
Well, there was a lot of credit to give him. There's also problems with him, too, and he failed in other areas.
Yeah.
He had a big ignorance.
Okay, I need to remind you. Yeah, I need to remind you because he's a defendant in my case. Why? Because he actively is fully aware of people, of the sheriff's joints or CPIS and the taking of people's children without due process. He's fully aware, and he allows it to go on.
Well, it's not so. I'm not going to defend him or anything, but it's not so much as he knows it's going on and that he can do something about it. I'm sure there's a gun to his head too. Okay, and I can't speak up for him or against him. I can say that there's a lot of good things to say about the guy. He's won a lot of good things, but I also heard a couple of bad things. And again, it could be through ignorance. It could be the fact that he can't do nothing. I don't know. So, you know, I can't.
He ignores correspondence, just like Rick Scott did too. If you write to him or you try to contact him, he's going to ignore you, just like Rick Scott did.
Yeah.
He's also a defendant.
Yeah, that's a problem with a lot of places. Even with big corporations, they ignore you. You're doing business.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially, of course, these politicians, they ignore you because they don't want to.
Yeah, same as Marco Rubio
We're not going to solve that problem, nor are we going to be able to say this guy's a bad guy or this guy's a good guy. I see two things. I see some bad stuff and I see some good stuff. I see a lot of good stuff, but I do see some bad stuff too. But anyway, what else do you
All right, one more thing. All right, this the quo warranto. Okay, I know we're doing it on the feds, but remember, the state judges are defendants in the case. Is it being done on them too, or only the fed judges?
You go
the
after
judges.
All the officers in the court. That's who you go.
All of them. Okay.
All the officers.
All right.
Now let me rephrase that, because you're not going to go after the bailiff. It doesn't make any sense.
No. Just
you're going after the bar people is what you're doing. The judges and the lawyers, the bar people.
Yeah.
So depending
on who
you're involved, those are the lawyers you're going after, and they're very upset when you file this paper, and then you have to push it up.
Well, there's about five or six attorneys general. I tell you, they're the ones that prosecute parents.
You do it on all of them. Whoever you want to do it on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
What else?
Including the head attorney. Okay, because the head attorney one already admitted to me that she doesn't have one a bond. All right. Okay. Number three is one of the languages I used real quick. Okay. I think I mentioned this before. I need to do a subpoena on a couple of them, because there's a couple of names I have to get. All right, and I can only get it through subpoena. Now, the question is, and I heard you mention before that you hadn't really done one. I've done one before, and I forced an officer to come to court in another instance. But in this instance, if they ignore the subpoena, and normally that's an arrestable offense, but I'm not able to arrest anybody or get anybody to do it. Now, what if they ignore the subpoena?
Again, we have to have an honest court, and that's why devolution is the key to this whole thing, to get to the other side of devolution and start to pursue our courts of justice and bringing it up the line. But then you go through, you're going up and you're going to appeal to their boss. So whoever their boss is up the line, that's where you're going to go. And if that's a problem, you move it up to the next line. But, you know, remember, I think it's a powerful paper, but I don't know how far you're going to get right now on this side of devolution. Okay.
Yeah.
So again, we're working on the paperwork now to filing it, but we're not going to be filing it for maybe a month to 2 months down the line, which I think will bring us right to where we want to be, only because we have so much paperwork to do. Okay, we got a lot cases, so.
And you said the Coronto is going to be filed, what I'm supposed to do, it's not filed directly into that court, it's filed at the appeals court, or where you say I filed?
No, the Coronto is filed against the people of the court. They got 10 days to respond.
I know.
Then you move it to their boss.
Okay, but is it? Oh, I see, okay, so it is filed directly into the case, okay.
Right.
Gotcha,
right.
Okay.
You're telling them to put this information on the paper. And they'll understand why you're doing that, because you've got proof to show them that they denied you due process and many other violations.
Right.
And you're going to bring that before the bond board. And again, that's what I need to learn a little bit more on. I think it's an administrative bond system court situation. I don't know. It's not like I don't believe it's like going into the court, but they have their own administrative court system. It's sort of like...
Right. Well, they're gonna ignore it unless somebody else forces them to answer it. If it's not filed directly to them.
Well, they're going to ignore it to their own peril. Because when you see the paperwork, you'll see they don't have a choice.
I see. Okay. All right, well, I'll take that with you.
You're shutting them down as an officer of the court at this point. They fail. You know? But again, I still need a little more knowledge on that end. As far as the codes, the authorities, the papers that I've put together, written, the research, everything is ready to go. I just need to know a little more about the process now. That's what I need to know. And I'm still not completely... matter of fact, I just finished reading, proofreading the paper that I wrote, which is the full with an attached memorandum. I think it's about 7 pages or 8 pages.
Yeah.
And now I'm just going through perfecting it. I'm at that point. And that paper really is going to be the same thing for the notice and demand for those who are not in court but is filing it against an individual or an agency or somebody, like an IRS agent or somebody. And
I have several notices of demand that are out of court
It'll be in a notice and demand form probably. Okay, that's what my plan. That's not going to take me long to put together because the writing is done. You know, it's just how to put it together.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
All right. Well, one other thing. Let you know. I'm not surprised at all about what I heard about what's going on in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. I did tell you about Florida, and I have to say, although Trump moved there, maybe because he got some of his greatest support there and this and that, but that is about the easiest state to do what they did, okay? Because I told you about Florida. That's about the easiest state to do what they did to him. It's Florida.
Uh-huh. Well, look, remember, a lot of people are angry, not a lot of people, but some people, are angry with Trump because they don't understand what he's doing. And they're so angry and they're so lost and caught up that they're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need, anybody that is really paying attention, if you just listen to the words of Trump, just listen to his words and anyone else, you will come to the same conclusion. This man is working on something. And if you want to know what it is, then that's when you get over to X22 and you'll get the big details on that. And that is, and you'll get a lot of Q stuff. But remember, you know, you don't have to believe in Q to know what's going on. He just recently said and gave a big, big speech about never give up. You should never give up. When, you know, he went through this whole thing. And how many times has he said the best is yet to come? How many times has he said so many different things that mean he's doing, he has a plan. And he knows, look at, if they take over, if they were to win and to arrest him, and they were to able to try him and able to win, or even just with what they're doing, because they're trying to clamp down and they're moving very quickly and very hard, and the people are seeing, and that's what the whole thing is about, the people are seeing this.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they get to that point, at that point, Trump is not going to survive. They're going to take him out, just like they're going to take us out. That's what all these, 58,000 IRS agents with weapons? I mean, come on. What do you think they're coming out for? That's their Gestapo. And what's their excuse? Their excuse will be, you know, the fact that you owe money and you cheated or something. And whether you did or not, it doesn't matter. That's how they'll come out after you. And they're sending
I was just reminding you the way Florida is, which I mentioned several times, that's about the easiest place to do the most evilest things is all I was saying.
Well, I think he's, in my opinion, and I don't know this for a fact, I think he believes it's the safest place because of the governor. I think he thinks he's got the best governor to deal with in a place where he could be. That's what I think. I don't know that to be the case. Mm-mm. And if that is true, then probably some of the problems or the situations that you're concerned about and that I've heard about concerning the governor, he just, there's nothing he could do about it. His hands are tied. You know, remember, they got a gun to these guys' head. Look, you think that judge signed the papers for the warrant, do you think he wanted to do this? He knew what kind of, what's going to come. He's going to go to jail, okay? But he had no choice. They had a gun to his head. They got something wrong.
I was saying I feel sorry for whichever judge signed that warrant because I know when Trump gets a chance, there's going to be a mighty price to pay for him.
That's right.
Judge.
I mean, the idea.
I was just telling someone that. Yeah. I was
the idea to go after the president of the United States is just unbelievable unless he was really a subversive individual like Obama and Clinton. You know, I mean, these people, you know, they're so obvious and clearly subversive.
Yeah.
They destroyed this nation, and their purpose, their whole purpose is to destroy this nation. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm going to play something. I just want to play a couple of minute clip. Listen to this, okay? This is on the devolution.
Okay, I'm listening.
Listen.
Okay.
It is an honor to be here at my last, and perhaps the last, White House Correspondents' Day.
By the way, this is where he thought Hillary was going to win. This is, you know, just listen to what he says.
You all look great. The end of the Republic has never looked better.
I remember that.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, I remember that.
They all belong in jail.
What do you mean the end of Republic looked? I remember that too.
Because Hillary was supposed to win, and that was the end of the Republic. We were going to go to war. All kinds of things were going to happen. We'd be put in our homes because we have an illness. All this stuff would have taken place, and we never would have come out of it. And they would have taken control. And we are situated in Germany, 1938. That's where we in America are right at this moment. We are in 1938 Germany. And Trump prevented it from happening.
Thank God. She's a wicked one. Have you ever seen the movie The Clinton Chronicles?
No, I haven't. But I've heard a lot of I've seen things on Clinton, but
yeah, you need to watch that. I watched that, and it is horrendous. Okay, there was a lawyer who's not into the bar thing, and he's narrating it. Okay, and
I am familiar with his rising to power. I'm familiar with all of the drugs going through as a governor. I'm familiar with all that.
I'm saying this lawyer. I'm saying at this point, it's not narrating it. It's not into the bar thing. He's narrating it. And because of things he uncovered about the Clintons, okay, and he put that in the Clinton Chronicles. You got to watch it. Clinton had him.
We're not going to be able to find that on YouTube, I'm sure. Do you know where it's at? Is it on
Rumble? No. You can buy it even on Amazon. I watched it at somebody's house. You can get it on Amazon even. It's called The Clinton Chronicles. Well, the Clintons had this lawyer because of everything he had on them, and he exposed them, okay? He had him ambushed. He had him attacked at his home, and he had his I think it was his bladder or his kidneys punctured, okay? You can die from that because I'm also a nurse. And he said towards the end, after all the exposure he did on them about the laundering drug money through their law firm in Arkansas, all kind of stuff, he said, if anything happens to me, he told the public, I urge the public to hold Mr. Clinton personally responsible because of everything he uncovers about them and exposed in that movie. You got to watch it.
Him and his wife have killed a lot of people. This is what I've heard.
Yes.
And because
yep.
a lot of people who are going to, blow the whistle on them, they've taken them out. A lot of bodies. So
you got to watch that movie.
I got a note on that. I'll take a look, see if I can find it, and see if I can watch
the
that.
The Clinton Chronicles.
I got
it'll floor you.
Anything else? Or are we done?
Well, that's it, I guess.
Okay, because we do have a lot of people in the queue, and I want to try to get to everyone tonight. So we've got 15 minutes. All right, thank you.
Okay. All right,
I'm going to try to keep some of these calls a little short now so we can get everybody in the queue. We've got 5 people in the queue. So let's go to our next question. Thank you, Andromedia. Willie, you got the mic. Go right ahead. Go ahead, Willie.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that the email that he read off, that was from me about here in Hillsborough County. My question is this. I heard you were speaking about the surety bond. Would that apply to me?
And what kind of case?
It's a traffic case.
Yeah. Yes, it would apply to you. Again, if you want, I wrote a chapter or a large, I think it's a whole chapter on dealing with traffic court. Or I did write something on the traffic court in my book. And if you follow that procedure and combine that with the quo wanto. Now, you'll find a quo wanto in the book also, but I'm going to update that quo wanto and I'll make a note and put it on the website so people will be able to download it. It's not too much different than what I've got in the book anyway, but it does add a memorandum and it does change some of the language, not much, but a little bit of the language in the quo wanto in the book. But it puts it together and if I mentioned this earlier, if I went to traffic court, I would have a quo wanto in my back pocket because I'd be leaving that court one way or the other. I'd be leaving that court as a dismissal, or I'm going to be back chasing their bonds, and that's when I would serve it if they wouldn't dismiss my case. But you have to make a position, and you have to make it clear to them. I had a situation not long ago in a traffic court. The judge I saw was a little nervous. And the prosecutor was nervous too because they read my papers. I sent my papers also to the prosecutor. And when I finally got into the court before them, and they kept me last. There was no one else there. They didn't want no one else to hear. And they wanted me to deal. And I said, "There's no way I'm going to deal with anything. You don't have the power. You don't have the authority. You do not have personam jurisdiction over me. And I'm going to pursue damages from you people if we're going to be continued." They threw the case out, okay?
Right.
But I didn't have a writ quo wanto in my back pocket for that case, but I thought about it later, and I said, that's what I need. And so next time, if I was in a court like that, I'd have that in, because if they didn't let me go, I don't want to come back no more. I would then file that paper. Let's take another direction. And then I'd move it into federal court for cause, denial of due process. So I'd get them from two ways.
John, my question is, that information is in the court access and common law?
Court access and the common law. And
okay,
anybody who, look at, I'm going to strongly suggest, I don't know if I wrote this up in the book this way. I tried to give mindsets, thoughts and everything, but I think I wrote it this way in the book somewhere, in the beginning, of course, probably. But the thing is this, the book, you should start the book, literally read it as a book.
Right.
You know, that's the very first thing you should do. Read it as a book from beginning to end. Okay? Yeah. That'll give you a real good feeling and an understanding of a lot of things once you get through that. Then you go back and you use it as a book, as a reference book, how to write the papers, all kinds of examples in there. You make it your case, of course, but the examples are all in there. But once you get through reading the book, you will see how it unfolds and how logical the system that we have that is set up and how it really works and the purposes. You know, in the beginning, I didn't understand a lot of this stuff. And again, I went to the School of Hard Knocks and, you know, and I thought, well, I shouldn't even be at these hearings. No, the hearings are important. The problem is they're using hearings to throw me out of court, okay? Yeah. And that's how you need to be able to defend yourself. The moment they start talking like that is when I pull out of my back pocket. Here's the writ quo warranto. We're going to talk about this later. We're going to deal with your bonds. Let's see. And I'd pull their bonds and pursue the bonds and injure them as recorded. And then they're going to have to recuse themselves. We're going to have to get another judge and another, in my case, a U.S. attorney. Okay, and then I'll go through the whole process again. You want to throw me out of court? Well, I'll serve a quo warranto on them too. Now they have to recuse themselves. Next, okay, that's the only way to pursue it on this side of devolution. Okay,
right.
On the other side of devolution, it's not going to be that bad, because you'll be able to go see their boss, which takes you up the appeal system. But you have an open court case, so they'll hear that quickly, and deal with it.
Okay.
And if they don't deal with it correctly, then you know, same thing. Give them a writ quo warranto. Deny my due process. Denying me my right to be able to have my say in a court of law to a jury.
Right. But Can you explain to me, when the state, actually, I was in an accident. Someone hit me.
Mm-hmm.
But when he gave me a ticket, I never signed anything. So the reason for the judge to issue the warrant was because he said upon a written agreement. I never signed anything to agree to appear in court.
Right. Well, look, if he gave you, what kind of a ticket did he give you? Was it a code violation of traffic code?
No, I've never had a driver's license in the state of Florida.
Okay, yeah, so he gave you a ticket because you didn't have a driver's license.
Right.
Well, again, it's an uphill battle. Again, you're on the wrong side of devolution. You can defeat it because you have the law on your side, the real law, well, not the civil law.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look, you have to have a right mindset. You have to pose your case in the proper way, and you have to pursue it in the proper way. They cannot put you in jail for a code violation, because that's what that is. And has nothing to do with you. You see, your argument should be the fact that you don't have to have a driver's license because you're not driving commercially.
Absolutely.
You can't apply that upon me. You don't have personam jurisdiction on me. Now, you have to be able to defend that. You have to be able to prove that. You see, my last traffic court case that I actually went in for the hearing, because usually when they just ignore me and I just pay the fine and move on, I decided not to do that anymore. But half the cases I put in, I never hear back from the court, so that's fine too. I'm good with that. But now, when you go into that court, before you go into that court, you need to put a paper in that court, and you need to explain very, very clearly, which is undeniable. Remember, a lot of these judges, they're town judges, village judges, maybe a city judge or whatever. You know, it's not courts of law to begin with. They're not common law courts, not even officially. They're all equity. But now today they're civil. But, you know, when you lay it out correctly and you got a judge that never even studied law, so they're not a lawyer, at least most judges in those levels are not lawyers, they're just politicians, and they go to, they go to judge school for a week or two or whatever they got going to lay out the thing. And then they have the prosecutor there to assist them and tell them what the law is and to go through all the things. And that's how a lot of that works. And I'm sure from time to time you get a judge that is a lawyer on that level, but generally they're not. And so the judge gets the paperwork, and if the judge reads the paperwork, you're going to shake that judge up. That's for sure. If they're not a bar attorney. Bar attorneys, they think that the common law, and they say it all the time, well, that's been abrogated. We don't do common law no more. We're under civil law. We're under Roman law. They believe that. Okay? You can't. That's a hard cookie to, you know, to crack. I'm a hard nut to crack. I mean, you can't get through to these people. Okay? But because they've been well taught that all these things, that isn't so. But a judge that hasn't gone through that part of the process, that's what happened to me. The judge was nervous. They knew I had something because everything I wrote was, you know, footnoted and memorandums of law. I mean, you couldn't argue against one point in my paper.
Right.
So, and that you'll find that paper, that layout in the book for traffic court.
Yeah, but John, I've submitted papers to the state attorney and the court of clerks.
They're all lawyers. They're all bar attorneys. Look, what you need to understand is this. The purpose of the bar, and this is serious. The purpose of the bar is to destroy common law. That's right. Their purpose. They started this in 1750. Benjamin Franklin was a pain to them, a real pain. And there was other people too, but he was, you know, he had his newspaper going at this point, and he was writing about the problems, taxation, the problems with the king, blah 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 blah, and they were, and so the king, I don't know if they had the bar already in England. They may or may not have. That may be the beginning of the creation of the bar. I really don't know, but surely it was the beginning of the creation of the bar here in the colonies in 1750, and their whole purpose was to bring our court systems down, to bring the colonies back under the control, because when they brought anybody into the court system to try to get them for the will of the king, the juries refused to indict. The juries didn't go along with them, and this was a problem for them.
Right.
And that has not changed. Okay, the Bar Association continued in the colonies and continued here. They're the major force behind the Federalists, okay? The Federalists, the idea and the positions and the idea of the Federalists was a good thing, the creation of a federal government. But the bar got their nose into that, they got their fingers into that, and they were very destructive. They tried to destroy Jefferson. That's why everybody believes all these lies about Jefferson. I wrote about Jefferson in my book. I write about Jefferson online. We did a Monday program on Jefferson, a couple of them, as a matter of fact. But he's not the guy that they talked about. Jefferson worked tirelessly from the very beginning to free the slaves. And he started off with trying to just being able to, you know, free his own slaves. Yes. And emancipate them. And that was illegal in Virginia at the time. But anyway, the bar attorneys, that was the purpose. And then they turned over to become eventually the American Bar Association. I think that was in 1878 or 79, something like that, that the American Bar Association took place. And you can see where all the damage they've done. I mean, everything that Congress has done that's been unlawful was really put together, created, and pushed forward by bar attorneys. Many of your congressmen and even senators are bar attorneys. They got this bar mentality. And you can't talk to these people. I've tried to have conversations with these. They just don't get it. They don't even want to hear it. You know?
Yes, sir.
You know, it is what it is, but their day is coming. Day of reckoning is coming in the courts for them.
Another question: Will you be willing to offer a study group with this court of this court access and common law book?
There should be enough in there to do what you got to do, and you can ask some questions here or there. But I don't know that I'll have the time to be able to do that. Maybe, you know, right. I want to pursue textbooks for the schools on the other side of things. We got to get a proper education in schools. I think we have a head start on that to some degree because these two books that I wrote and even the handbooks, they're all a part that could be turned into a curriculum. And then, of course, there's other books written by other people, The 5,000 Year Leap, for instance. That should be in the schools. Okay, children, that should be the beginnings for children in the lower schools is The 5,000 Year Leap. But there's the real Thomas Jefferson. That could become a course in itself, that book. It may create it into a textbook. It could be a whole semester just on one of our founding fathers. The most important one is Thomas Jefferson, is George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, you know, all of these people. But I'll see. You know, I don't know where I'm going to go with this. Don't know.
Okay. No,
you but I'll always be here to answer questions, you know, so.
Yes, sir.
But the book should be able to bring you through and give you a good mindset. I tell you, read the two books, and really, the more time you spend in those books and in the information in those books, then the better, a good relationship with an intimate relationship with all of these things. And before you know it, when you're talking, it just sort of starts to spill out of your mouth. You'll surprise yourself. It's like anything else. You spend a lot of time with it. You know, doctors spend day and night, learning medicine and learning the anatomy and going through this, through the schools and then coming out and then, you know, doing their internship. They eat, breathe, and sleep medicine, you know, for so many years. And it just spills out of their mouths. You know, it's like a new language and everything. So if you have the desire to do something like that, you know, same thing with this.
Okay.
And it doesn't take as much as in medicine, because most of it's logic. You know, once you see how the court system actually works, which I think you'll see in this book, and how the process works right up to the trial, once you understand that, you're going to say how logical this is.
Right.
So the system is good. It's the people running it is the problem.
Right.
Corrupt. Anyway, I got to move on. I'm not going to be able to get to everyone tonight. I see Jay, you're here. Let me just real quick. Are you wanted to ask something about the book? Let me see if I can get Jay on for a second. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
No, but I wanted to ask you about another book, our Common Law Handbook.
Right.
Are we selling that on Amazon for $5 to $7 a piece?
No, someone stole that from me, is selling it, and I can't get a hold of them to sue them. I don't know how to get them, and Amazon won't give me the information.
That's what I was wondering. His name is David E. Robinson.
Yes, I got his name, but there's a lot of David E. Robinsons up there. I've called I called one of them, and it turned out it wasn't the same guy, and I called another one. And there's a lot of numbers that have been disconnected, which may have been him. But until I can find him, I've been trying. It's a bestseller on Amazon, by the way. And
I gave a copy to a friend of mine, and she ran into a friend of hers who had three copies of it and sent me a picture of it. And I said, that's not our book. And she goes, I said, where did they get that? And they said, Amazon. I went on Amazon and it even says National Liberty Alliance on the back of the cover.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yep. If you open up the book, it's word for word to the book I wrote. I mean,
but it's changed around a little bit.
Well, they changed the cover. They changed the cover a little bit. But even that cover was robbed from another cover I had.
but they had a picture of a quote, and I said, hey, that's out of our book, and I went to my book, and there were different quotes around it.
Well,
like they changed around the order inside of the book, you know.
Yeah, I don't have the whole book. I probably should buy it and give him my $5 so I can go through it. But I can't get to him. Look, I have a problem with Amazon with that. The other thing is I wrote a book. I took 30 memorandums I wrote. I wrote a book that I thought was very important, and I put it up. Let me get it on up here on my page here. The book I wrote, Common Law Court Handbook, okay, that particular handbook, it's selling for $10.99. Let me see, it's a lot of pages. There's quite a few hundreds of pages in there. I maxed out, I believe, on the potential size of that book. I'm looking for the details on that. Let me see if I can find it. I'm not finding it here. In any event, I wrote that book as a handbook that people should have to go into the courts, so which is a lot of information, some footnotes and different things, Supreme Court rulings. And I wrote it in a way where you can quickly go through the list and find what you need to support a case and an argument in court. And then there was a companion book I wrote with that, which was 30 memorandums. And I've been trying to. Someone talking?
Oh, you're in there groaning and moaning.
It's me. Okay. I think
there, no, there, was, there was someone else. Yeah, I someone else was in the background. I just muted them. But I wrote another book, which was a companion book to this. Excuse me. And that book is Memorandums of Common Law or something like that. Matter of fact, let me go back to my page. I may have had, I may have put it up already. No, I didn't put it up here yet. But it's a book of 30 memorandums, okay? Which, again, I wanted to put that in a handbook with this handbook, so they're companion handbooks, and they'd be very helpful in a court. You know, sometimes you're in a court and you want to object to something and you want to find the right words or maybe make some notes of a Supreme Court ruling or whatever, you know, and have some authority on what you're talking about so that you can quickly find it. And so I wrote these two books for that purpose, and I think they'll be helpful to people. But again, on the other side of things, Court Access and the Common Law covers both of those books. You know, that you'll find that in that book. And the Court Access and the Common Law, you're going to use it as a good reference book. Anybody that wants to, you know, take care of their business in court without a lawyer, you're going to find this as a real good reference book. And any corrections or any additions to this book that needs to, that I discover and want to put into it, I'll be putting it up on the website and people can get more information. And eventually maybe even get in there to change the book, you know, add some stuff or whatever. So,
okay, well, I was just wondering if you're aware of that.
You're good. Yeah,
I'm
aware.
Aware of that going on. Okay.
I'm very much aware, and I'm upset with it, you know. You can't do nothing about it. The guy's selling my book. You know, here and he took it off the website, you know, and just printed it and put his name on as the author, and that's it. He's making money off of it. That should be NLA money. That'd be money supporting NLA, and it's going to this guy.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I
thought they were out of print, and when I gave somebody a copy, I'm like, these are very precious. I only got a couple left, you know, because I bought a bunch from one of our members who had one case left.
Mm-hmm.
I still got a couple, you know, and I gave one to somebody the other day, and then they sent me that. Hey, my friend got three modern coffee table.
That's right. You have the originals that I created, and we copyrighted, I think it was 2014 on that. But he stole that off the website and copyrighted it in 2013. What really angers me is that, Amazon turned around and they refused to put one of my books up and said I was stealing it because they found, however they found it, they found it on my website. I said, yeah, that's my website, and I gave it away for free. And I had to prove that to them, and I did. Now, this book with the memorandums is the second time they've turned to me and said, this is stolen work. I said, what are you talking about? Well, you know, this is, you have to prove you own this work. I said, well, how do you go about doing that? I said, I wrote all of those memorandums in there. Those are my, that's my book. And I says, if you're someone out there selling it, you tell me where that's being sold so I can go buy it and then sue this person. But they refused to give me that information. And they've been ignoring me now for about a month. But I did get someone above them to, you know, talk with me, and hopefully that's going to be fixed soon. But what I did is I sent them information. And I says, look, you go to my book that I published in 2021, and on chapter, I think it was chapter 10 maybe, I don't remember what chapter, but whatever chapter it was, I told them, you go look chapter 10 or whatever it is, and you will find all those memorandums. They'll find 27 of the 30 of them. You'll find all the memorandums there, and that's copyrighted. That's my work. And they still ignored me for a month. But again, I did get somebody that is their boss, you know, their manager, and they're looking into it, and hopefully I'll get it fixed soon, and I'll get my other handbook up there. But, it's really depressing that they're doing this to me. Why didn't they do that to that guy? My book was already on the website. You would have seen it, and you should have questioned it back then. But I'm trying to find someone to sue on that, but I can't get to the, I don't know where the guy's at. I don't know. There's too many Robinsons, David Robinson.
All right. I was just bringing it up to you because I didn't know it was out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine brought it to my attention, but
Well, just real quick, you send me your address to mail that book out to you, but you took a couple of days, and I already did a mailing. I'm doing another mailing tomorrow, I think, and I got your book here ready to go, so I hope you're going to mail tomorrow or the next day. But I think tomorrow, I've got two other books that I got to send out to somebody tomorrow.
Okay, I just left the house for another month, so I won't be home for another month.
So I'm not in a big hurry anymore, huh?
Yeah, a lot of the times is, you know, hey, did it come? And Vicky just put it somewhere, and I don't know, you know, never saw it, and, you know.
It'll go on a day or two for sure anyway. So.
Okay.
All right, Jay, I got to go. I just wanted to catch you because I knew you might have something to say about that. But, okay,
well,
thanks
a lot for getting to me.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I apologize. I couldn't get to everyone tonight. There's still like four or five people in the queue, but it's late. I got to go. It's 10 minutes after 11. Try to get into the queue early next Monday, and we'll pick it up from there. And so, Lord willing, we'll see everybody next Monday. Good night.
Good night.